Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SFC Energy. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May now hand you over to Dr. Peter Podesser, who will start the meeting today. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Aurelia, for the introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our conference call this morning. Together with my colleague, Gerhard Ehninger, we are going to present the audited final group figures for 2018, as well as discuss the outlook for 2019 and the midterm outlook. As usual, we will start off with the key highlights, go into a detailed presentation and discussion of business as well as financial figures, and then we'll be happy to open the floor here for questions. If I start off with the highlights, well, from a statutory point of view, I think it's important to mention that the final audited group figures confirm our preliminary figures, which we published on February 7 this year. Going into the business, I think we look back onto a very good year, 2018. We can report record sales and earnings for 2018. Sales up by 13.7% to almost 62 million from 54.3 million in 2017. We also can demonstrate that with the growth of the sales revenue, we have a significant improvement here in profitability with the EBITDA underlying more than doubling, as well as the EBIT coming into a sustainable, profitable range. Looking into the time ahead of us for 2019, we confirm what we have published here since February this year, that we are looking again for further or expecting again further growth here in 2019, in a range of growth between 10 and 20 percentage points, which means from 67 million-74 million revenue expected for the current year. Again, the next step of profitability to be reached here with underlying EBITDA ranging from 4.5 million-7 million and underlying EBIT ranging from 3.5 million-6 million. Looking a little further out in a midterm outlook of 3 to 4 years, we target to surpass the 100 million revenue mark here by 2022. This also should then translate with all, I'd say, what we see here in terms of product mix, cost improvements, and pricing effect into a EBITDA margin on an underlying basis as we usually publish this firmly and significantly above the 10% level. Let me now go into the business and look into the individual segments. As said, revenue growth here by about 14%, exactly 13.7%, driven by growth in our main segments, oil and gas, defense and security, as well as industrial. Going to the oil and gas part, still our biggest segment. When we look back to 2018, we can see two key drivers here for the growth. The one, sustainable investment in ongoing production with naturally a key impact here on all our product groups. At the same time also, a significant increase in investment here in new projects, and that's naturally a direct function also of the recovery of the oil price in the reporting period. particularly strong. We can see, let's say, our EFOY-based business growing here as the fastest growing product segment here with about 60% of growth year on year. And this translates into the EFOY-based business now accounting for about 12% of the overall oil and gas business. Having also said this, we also see a positive impact here on the overall margins as the EFOY business is the highest margin business. The second product category also showing dynamic growth is our SCADA product, supervisory control and data acquisition equipment that we integrate into our solutions here for customers. Products originating from Schneider Electric and well correlating and being very complementary to our EFOY packages. We started also in 2018 an initiative that we had to push back by, I would say, a good 2 years during the crisis, regional growth, regional expansion of the business into the U.S. We see initial fruits coming out of this, and we have first pilot orders in. For 2019, this is a crucial element and remains a crucial element for growth. We also saw, especially in late autumn time, a soft period on the order intake in oil and gas because of a sharp decline, short-term decline of the oil price with a specific situation in Western Canada with missing transport capacity, but looking back to it, we see strong recovery here. The activity picked up again, and finally we could also see the best fourth quarter in our oil and gas business since we are in this business. Overall increase of sales 6.4% year on year on euro basis. If we adjust this by the currency impact, it translates into a growth of 11%. The outlook here for oil and gas, we are more conservative in this segment than in the other segments based simply on oil price fluctuations, but the first 3 months show dynamic and good start into the year. Going to the industrial part of the business, again, robust growth, 7.3% here from 15.2 million to 16.3 million. And we see demand picking up not only out of the existing customer base, but also new customers. And here it's important to see that the change in product strategy, developing a semi-standardized modular product platform, especially for new segments as well as for example, the laser industry, really yields results. We had first prototype small series project secured in 2018, of which part is already accounted for in the 2018 numbers. The bigger part really goes into 2019 this year. This is also part of our robust growth expectation here for the segments of around 10% for 2019. So a positive outlook. Definitely the star here amongst the segment in 2018 is defense and security. We more than doubled the sales here up to 10 million in 2018, and this is distributed throughout national and international business, also a result of our, let's say, risk mitigation process here, driving the international business with the same efforts and the same energy we are driving the national business. We were able to secure follow-on orders on national and international basis, and at the same time having new projects landed here, especially for the portable platform Jenny, but also for the product platform Emily that is used either in dismounted scenarios but also vehicle-based scenarios. The key driver here for overall demand is definitely the higher spending due to the geopolitical situation, and I will come back to this also in our medium-term outlook, the need for a lightweight, reliable power source that is also not generating noise and temperature signature, starts to translate into scaling orders and scaling shipment. I think the investments of more than 10 years of pioneering work, the first payoff here, and we feel ourselves well established here also going forward. Also here, positive outlook here for 2019 and further significant growth expected. Clean energy and mobility, we reported this earlier also in our February statement that we are below 2017 numbers in this segment. We are short by about 435,000 euros. We had a significant 2 million plus project here from Singapore in early 2017, which we unfortunately were not, let's say, able to repeat here, although we also have to say it was not the expectation to repeat this here within a year. If we now net out this singular impact of this order, we are looking into an increase of about 15% throughout our industrial fuel cell business here, especially driven by civilian security applications, surveillance cameras being powered by our fuel cells, and also the wind industry. An important step in this segment also for growing the business, again, is the regional rollout of the business here. It's worthwhile to mention that we were able to sign up the first partnership in China here with our partner Beijing Green Century Technologies in springtime of 2018, a company that has grown its business in the wind and solar industry in China, and therefore with the sales and service network helps us to establish presence for our EFOY-based off-grid energy solutions. First pilot orders have been recorded back in 2018, and we expect a higher impact on business in 2019. Overall, also here, dynamic start into 2019 and growth expected for the segment. With this, I would like to hand over to Gerhard here to lead you through the financial results and the earnings performance.
Thank you, Peter, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you an overview on our margin and earnings situation as well on balance sheet and cash. The figures Peter mentioned is announced on February 7th have been confirmed. So we're talking now about audited figures 2018. As mentioned already, the group, SFC Group, achieved sales of 61.7 million in 2018. And this is an improvement of almost 14% from the prior year's period, compared to the prior year's period with 54.29 million. Even the fourth quarter with 17.4 million was 17% higher than 2017's last quarter with 14.9 million. So we had a pretty strong year-end race. On the gross profit, in total we achieved in 2018 21.1 million compared to 17.7 million in 2017. The achieved gross margin was 34.2% of sales. Prior year was 32.6%, so at least an improvement of 1.6%. On the individual segments, an oil and gas segment, this was increased from 23.8% to 28.2% of sales. The improvement based on supplier conditions and slightly improved sales, pricing, but also and furthermore of the strong EFOY business we had in 2018 in Canada in our oil and gas segment. So we increased the amount or the portion of the EFOY business from 7.9% to 12.1% with a significant improvement of the margin on our EFOI devices. Very sufficient what happened here. The industry posted a decline from 33.8 to around about 30.7. This was a result of expiring development service. This was planned. Last year, this was around about 250 to 300K. This year, this was zero. This is the reason for that is that we are working now on a platform system. That means we don't develop each solution individually. In addition, we had higher transport costs as a result from the situation in the supply chain. Sometimes you have to buy something in China just to get the products ready for your customer in time. And of course, we finished the transfer of the products end of quarter three to our factory in Cluj, and we had some extra costs on that. But most of this is also in the underlying result. I will talk about this in a second. What we are doing here, because we want to come back where we came from on our margin, is, of course, ongoing negotiations on customer side, as well as bringing out the best with our suppliers so that we have a target to be over the 30% significantly again. The gross margin on defense and security was pretty stable on a level over 50%, so we are pretty okay on that. In clean energy and mobility, we had a decrease from 43 to 39%. At least this was a conclusion of several long-term customer contracts with lower margin contribution, but of course with a higher sales reliability. Overall, as said before, the gross margin for the group increased from 32.6 to 34.2%. And of course, the margin increase is a key element in the improvement of our earnings figures. And I think we have a pretty stable track record. We came in 2016 from 30.1% to 32.6 in 2017. And now this year means 2018 with 34.2%. What happened on the earnings figures? EBIT and EBITDA, due to P&L as well as underlying, have all been up around 2 million compared to prior year. And I think we had the situation a year before. The EBIT improved from minus 885K in 2017 to plus 1.3 million in 2018. In this context, it should be noted that in 2018, there was underlying effects of around 1.2 million resulting from personal measures at PBF. This was 400K, and expenses in connection with the stock appreciation right program. This was around about 800K. In the previous year, in 2017, the non-recurring effects amounted to 1.1 million. We tried to keep this to a low number of effects, so at least for the current year, there is only planned to have the expenses or income from the stock appreciation rights in. If we consider these non-recurring effects, the underlying EBIT amounted to plus 2.6 million in the prior year. In 2017, this was plus 200K. The EBITDA was almost 2.5 million was recorded in 2018 after we had around about 900K in 2017, and the underlying EBITDA, one of our major KPIs, improved from plus 1.5 million to plus 3.7 million, so plus 2.2 million in total. The net result improved from minus 2.1 million in 2017 to really zero in 2018. This was the number. It was minus 500 euros roundabout. This was the number I had when I finalized the consolidation. So we didn't change on that. That's the number which was calculated. Earnings per shares last year was minus 23 cents. Now it was zero based on the net result of zero. The available cash and cash equivalents increased to 7.5 million at the end of 2018. The number a year ago was around about 4.4 million, so also an improvement here. Two components were the basis for this. First, we had the capital increase with a cash amount of 4.2 million middle of 2018. And secondly, also very important that we had a positive cash flow from operating activities, which was around about 2 million, even an increase compared to 2017 was 1.7 million. The equity ratio increased from around about 40% end of 2017 to 40.3% end of 2018. Of course, the capital increase and the positive cash flow was a trigger for that. Our backlog amounted to 14.2 million end of 2018. This is a little bit under the 2017 number, but we have to consider that the huge order from the Bundeswehr, which we recognized in quarter one 2018, was around about 3.6 million, was included in this number with 18.6 million. So we feel comfortable on this 14.2 million backlog, and this will be the basis for further growth. At the end of 2018, we had 279 permanent employees. A year ago, it was 258, so 21 people more on the payroll end of 2018. Okay, with this, I may hand back to Peter, who will give you a summary and an outlook for 2019 as well as for the coming future. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerhard. What do we expect now for 2019? I think if we look back over the last 2 years, we can summarize we went through the operational break even here in 2017. We moved now the business here with the best record or the best level of sales revenue here in the history of the company. We moved it into a profit zone that is already on a sustained basis, and as the first profitable fuel cell manufacturer, we definitely want to not only stay on the growth track, but also naturally keep up with the profitability and improve the profitability disproportionately, simply to maintain sustainability here overall. The growth steps taken last year, I think penetrating the existing market is naturally the key element here. We are seeing this here with the growth in oil and gas, with the growth in defense and security, as well as the industrial part, and also in clean energy and mobility. The regional expansion and growth here in our civilian fuel cell business bears fruit. A key step, and I think that's a new chapter we are opening here consciously as a company, also in terms of product strategy and market strategy, was the decision to penetrate here also hydrogen and hydrogen-based fuel cell technology by adopting high-temperature fuel cell technology from our partner Atkor. Here we are on a fast track, and this will be a significant initiative for 2019 to first make the product available and still effect and execute on first shipments here in the later part of 2019. Besides this, the expected growth here in 2019 is being driven, and we are seeing an ongoing momentum in the first 3 months here. It is, again, further market penetration of the existing market segments, but then also regional rollout. And here, the key focus goes to India, China, and the U.S., I'd say three of the major economies here. And we are talking civilian business as well as government means defense and security business with different emphasis here in the different regions and some of the initiatives I mentioned before. If we now look into, I'd say, the increasing and unabated interest here from our customer base, combined with significant positive changes in the macro environment, which I will get to in a minute, we are convinced that we will show profitable and sustained growth here. I think we have a good chance to participate disproportionately here from this positive market environment as one of the leaders in the industry. The numbers I've mentioned before, we target to grow by 10 to 20% here. Why this big spread? This is just because of the nature of our defense business. This is a project business, and a single project can simply have such a size of an impact. But with this range from 67 to 74 million of revenue, we are targeting, again, the increase in profitability on EBITDA underlying basis, as mentioned before, lifting it up to a range between 4.5 and 7 million, and the same on the EBIT underlying here to a range between 3.5 and 6 million. For completeness, I think we need to mention that especially our Canadian business here, we are calculating on a fixed exchange rate, as we have been doing this here now for a couple of years, of 1.5 between the Canadian dollar and the euro. If we now look into the more distant future, apart from or following 2019, we have to first of all state that the forecast data here have not been audited by our auditors. This is company assessment here, and we are looking into a significant change and improvement of the political and social environment. And what we are experiencing here, I would say for the last 18, maybe even 24 months, is a true renaissance of the fuel cell as a clean and efficient energy source. We have major macro trends that are favoring and boosting here the demand for this clean and efficient way of generating electrical energy. And what we see is that fuel cells are again now perceived, and also I think in a big part of the market, starting to be taken seriously again as a valid alternative here to the conventional way of generating electrical energy. The major trends we are seeing is the drastic need for reduction of CO2 emissions on government and society level. We are seeing here a solidifying trend, and especially here in big economies like China, like Canada, selected countries of the EU, we see this also translating in concrete legal and regulatory measures that really favor and help then the distribution and sales here of technologies like fuel cells. Digitization combined with decentralization of energy generation, again, an additional trend that simply helps a technology like fuel cells now being used here on a broader scale. And from our specific angle here, being active in the defense and security area, this is a specific trend with a change in geopolitical overall environment. We are experiencing strong increase in spending here on government level, but also on civil and civilian level. The trend here of using more and more new and high-tech equipment that can only be operated with, let's say, a sustainable and reliable energy source again favors here the introduction of fuel cell as exactly such an energy source. Even in our defense and security market, we are talking here about digitization. We are talking about bringing data here to, let's say, the involved parties, especially also the active soldiers here on an on-time basis. And this is only possible when you provide a reliable, non-detectable energy source. We have spent 10 years to build up a solid market position and leadership position, and we expect to benefit here again over proportionally or disproportionately here from this specific trend, as well as, I'd say, the other macro trends. And so therefore, on our growth path here for the next 3 to 4 years, we see ourselves positioned well to surpass a mark of 100 million revenue here latest by 2022. And this should also come together based on further improvement of product mix, cost reductions and pricing effects, with a solid improvement here of the EBITDA margin, again on an underlying basis, sustainably above 10%. Overall, that's, I'd say, an assessment here which we have also worked through during a process of reviewing strategic options. As we published earlier, we have initiated a process to review strategic options a couple of weeks ago. And as mentioned earlier and published earlier, we have mandated ABN AMRO and Commerzbank as our partners in doing this. We want to be sure we take the right decisions here for the further development and growth of the company. And naturally, in full synchronization here with our supervisory board as well as key shareholders, we are assessing options that range from from bringing in new medium-term oriented investors to capital measures and other possibilities here of sustainable growth. This process is ongoing, and we will report here on an ongoing basis about the steps taken in this process. With this, I would like to conclude at this point. Thank you for your attention and open the floor for questions. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Malte Schaumann of Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This question is on the new hydrogen fuel cell technology. So how much in your midterm guidance 2022, how much of this technology is the sales contribution you have included in your budget in 3-4 years?
Good morning, Malte. This is Peter. As usual, we have been also here pretty conservative, and I think it's the right way of addressing it. We are starting here now in Germany, hopefully having the or being pretty confident to have the first shipments effected in late Q3, early Q4, and overall it's 5 to 10% of the midterm range that is based on hydrogen products. With a let's say, increasing percentage and with a faster growth pace, but I think that's the way we approached it from today's point of view. We have always the opportunity after reassessing the introductory phase, the ramp-up of production, and then also the the status of the R&D program on the second generation of fuel cells within 12 months to reassess this and maybe be more aggressive.
Okay. Okay, good. And as we have just spoken in February, what has changed, or has anything changed during the past 4 or 5 weeks from the operations side you want to highlight in certain industries and markets at customer level?
Well, I think what we see is, and we discussed this in February, we were giving a, and with good reason, a conservative outlook, especially in oil and gas, based on the dip of oil price and the soft booking situation following this year, October, November. We have to say that the activity is consistently up, and still we keep, let's say, a conservative outlook, which might, let's say, be subject to revision by mid of the year. The other element, and I think that's important also when we look back to 2018 here on clean energy and mobility, we have a consistent demand on an international basis here, and we are seeing, I'd say, significant momentum, especially surveillance-related, wind-related applications here for the civilian fuel cell business. So a very active start into 2019, which I think is also good when we look back to 2018, where we always had to report negative deviations here, even year on year in this segment.
Okay, so oil and gas probably trending a bit better than early in the year, I mean, which makes sense given the oil price development since then. Any update on the defense part, especially with the German customer?
Well, as usual, we always call it naturally the classical year-end business. And the first quarter here, especially on the national part of our defense business, definitely the real quiet one. Although day-to-day work is done, we did not expect, let's say, any major decisions due to the normal process of them finally releasing the budget internally within Q1 and then starting all the procurement action. So real activities are now expected Q2, Q3, Q4. Key targets, again, get a frame contract in place and the follow-on project here for Elena and Emily product lines. The real good element here in defense and security, looking back the last couple of weeks, is a very active start on the international part of the business. We published a couple of weeks ago shipment here to an international defense force here of the next lot of Emily 1200 units, and we also see significant activity in, especially in markets like India.
Okay, good. Okay, thanks.
Well, thank you.
The next question is from Carsten von Blumenthal, First Berlin Equity Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerhard. Regarding the hydrogen fuel cell, of course, greet this decision. I think it is the right time to get into the technology. You have been certainly a technology leader in the direct methanol fuel cell. Entering the hydrogen fuel cell market, you will meet some strong competitors such as Ballard, Plug Power, Hydrogenix. What gives you the confidence that your technology is competitive with these incumbent players?
Well, good morning, Carsten. Key and valid point. I think for us, in order to expand our offering here to higher power solutions, it was imperative to take a step here, and as discussed before, it was simply a buy or let's say either buying it or let's say build it on our own decision, and we opted for taking over or integrating here together with our partner Atcor an existing product platform already a, I would say, well-working product concept into our development program here through this joint development and license agreement. There is, let's say, more than 30 years of development work in this existing Jupyter platform in there, and well, we will add with our expertise of productization, of ruggedization, of maturing products, I think, add an additional missing piece to it. There is competition out there. We have always said it's even better to have competition than no competition. There were years in DMFC where I think we had difficulties to convince customers to use our products because they didn't see competitive solutions out there and were not sure whether, let's say, this is a sustainable path for the future. This will not happen in the hydrogen space. So by taking an existing product platform, adding our know-how to it, and then also adding our existing combined channels to market between Adcore and SFC, we feel we are well positioned here for growth. And also in a competitive environment, seeing, let's say, where competitors are, I think those elements are always decisive. At the end, your product has to be reliable. Quality and technology leadership has been an element for us to build our business, so we are not going to change this. And in some of the segments, we simply, I think, have already an established link to the customer, and therefore we should be pretty efficient and quick to get into the market and then expose ourselves naturally to the competitive environment.
All right, thanks for that. Looking at the oil market, the Canadian Western Select is now back at $48 from the massive low a few months ago. And I would like to know whether you see on the order entry level in February, in March, do you see there a pick up again? Because I would expect that after this turmoil in Canada, a lot of oil and gas companies are rather careful to see how the market develops before they again invest. So could you give us an update regarding order entries in your oil and gas business in Canada in recent weeks?
Absolutely. Well, you're right. The differential here between Western Canadian Select and WTI came down again to an average level here compared to this spike we saw here October and early November. That also had an impact on the immediate activity. The measure taken here by the government in Alberta to curtail production, to put out production limits to the largest producers, I think, stabilized here and helped. And with, let's say, the effect of end of February, some of those production quotas were significantly low, eased again. So production goes up. And the order entry level, we saw an immediate impact already in January with higher activity. Then we had a weather and climate-related impact in February. Western and northwestern Canada recorded the coldest February in more than 40 years. And so therefore, activity was really going to a very low level in some areas, really to zero. We had some of our EFOY products reported operating under minus 61 degree centigrade ambient temperature. So pretty harsh environment. This brought the activity down in February. If we now look first 3 weeks in March, 3.5 weeks in March, activity is really up, and we see some catching up as we are looking into this on a weekly basis. So overall, there has been ups and downs here, Q4 and Q1, but activity is up, and still we feel, I'd say, our assessment of being a little prudent here and conservative is the rate assessment going further into the year.
All right, thanks for that update. If I look at your order backlog at the end of the year, 14.2 million versus 18.6 million a year earlier, given that you want to grow this year roughly double digit, that looks a bit, say, not too strong. So what gives you the confidence that order income will be strong so that you can deliver on your sales guidance?
Hello, Carsten, this is Gerhard speaking. Once we compare these figures, this 18.6 and the 14.2 we had this year, last year in 2018, then we have to consider that the 3.6 million from our German defense customer was in the 2017 number. And once we take this out, then we're almost on the same level. Yeah.
And then I'd say the activity in the individual segments, as discussed before, and also the order intake in the first 3 months gives us, I would say, enough confidence to confirm the range here that we have out there between 62 and 74 million sales revenue. So it's a combination, real activity and demand since January 1, and as you said, an okay level of backlog coming into the year.
All right, thanks for that. My last question is regarding your medium-term forecast. I was very happy to see this because that shows your confidence into your markets. My question is, what do you think about international trade relations? Is that a risk for you? And
Well, I think as for almost everybody who is doing international business, this has or can have an impact. The level of significance here, I think we are to a certain extent hedged here by this trends that I mentioned before that are independent of, I'd say, a trade tension and a trade war. Still, you have those independent activities ongoing. Well, China needs to decarbonize the environment in order to make sure people can sustainably live in this geography long term. We see that the EU and in North America, let's say Canada first, but then I'd say eventually the US will embark also on this. Decentralization and digitization, there might be, let's say, somewhat a slowdown in some geographies, but the overall trend cannot be, let's say, stopped. We are talking here more about, let's say, potential delays. And then on our specific situation here for defense and security, well, the geopolitical situation, may we like it or not, is at the moment not improving, which is driving the higher need for security or perceived need for security on national, international, and individual level, which is the driving force behind our business based on higher spending. So I think we are hedged and exposed at the same time, but I think more hedged than exposed.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you very much for answering my questions.
And Carsten, we have an additional topic on the hydrogen side. I think when we look at the numbers here and the competitive space, one additional factor I did not mention is our focus here, especially in phase one, which is 2019 and early 2020, the focus really is on our German home market. There are programs out there, even government subsidies, that entice government organizations to replace gensets, backup power solutions by fuel cells. And the existing Jupiter platform has been successfully used in many of those applications. So I think with the combined effort between our partner Adcore and ourselves, we have a good head start here. So developing the business here on national level, making the product ready to compete on international level is a sequence that should be mentioned also when we look at the hydrogen space.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There are currently no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We haven't received any further questions. I hand back to you, gentlemen.
So with this, we would like to conclude for today. We really thank you for your time, attention, and interest in SFC Energy. And as always, for bilateral discussions, Susanne, Gerhard, and myself, we are fully available here and happy to engage into the communication. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.